Detroit loves its sports and sometimes even loves the results. In their new book, City of Champions, A History of Triumph and Defeat in Detroit, Stefan Szymanski and Zilka Wynak go deep into time through pivotal sports moments spanning more than 250 years. Along the way, they also document how Detroit's sports history is woven into the city's overall successes and struggles. The co-authors join me now. Stefan and Zilka, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Well, the book is called City of Champions. Could you explain how Detroit came to get that name?
In 1935, the Detroit Tigers won their first World Series, and it was complemented by the fact that the young NFL team then, the Detroit Lions, won their first NFL championship, and the young hockey team, the Detroit Red Wings, won their first Stanley Cup. This led to actually the governor of Michigan declaring Champions Day for the city of Detroit. And for many years afterwards, Detroit was widely referred to as the City of Champions. Now, that sort of died out in recent decades.
Zilka, there are so many moments in the book that are about public perception. And one of the most striking examples for me is your chapter on legendary boxer and Detroiter Joe Louis. Could you explain why and how Louis worked so hard on his public image as a boxer and as a spokesman for the military in World War II at a time when that was an unusual position for African Americans?
So the construction of Joe Louis's image goes back to Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion, who was widely hated for marrying white women, which in the early 20th century was, of course, completely unacceptable to the dominant culture. And that situation created a whole line of boxers trying to take him down, known as the Great White Hopes. So when Joe Louis emerged at the scene, it was becoming very clear that he was going to be just an amazing, very, very rare talent. He was being coached and constructed very carefully as the most respectful black boxer you could possibly imagine. The tragedy of Joe Louis is that he did everything right, that he became a hero first to the black community. Then he became very briefly, when he took out Hitler's boxer, Max Schmeling, a Pan-American hero, and he's often referred to as the first black American hero. And then after World War II, he sold war bonds, he recruited black soldiers to the military effort. He was betrayed.
Could you tell us a little bit about that betrayal?
The one story we're telling in the book, and this is based on archival material that has not been previously published, is a set of letters requested by Henry Ford II after Joe Louis in 1948 wanted to acquire a Ford car dealership in Chicago. So Henry Ford put out feelers to the regional Ford managers across the country asking their opinion. Every regional manager except for one says no. The general argument is A, we would never sell another car in the South. B, we general dealers would not come to conferences if we had to share a table with a black man. And C, giving a car dealership to Joe Louis would be seen as us taking part in Harry Truman's integration efforts.
Stefan, Detroit bid to become the host city for the Olympics for every games from 1940 to 1972. And Detroit narrowly missed, some might say was robbed, winning the 1956 and 1968 bids. The arc of the city's story during that 30-year period or so of bidding is so dramatic. It's a city on the rise. It becomes the arsenal of democracy during World War II. But by the end of that bidding process, it's at the start of what would become a dramatic decline. What do those failed Olympic bids say to you about Detroit's history?
One of the great missed opportunities of Detroit's history is really its failure to build an infrastructure that was commensurate with its immense industrial power. So Detroit is, for a while, immensely wealthy. Had that wealth been diverted into beautifying the city, into creating facilities and turning it into a place which would be a more attractive place to live with sports facilities and the likes, that would have facilitated its transformation. If you think of a city, perhaps a comparison here is Barcelona, which is, we now think of as being a very attractive city to visit because it's a beautiful place. And a lot of that was focused around the reconstruction for the 1992 Barcelona Olympic Games. And what people often forget is that prior to that, Barcelona was a Rust Belt industrial city. It wasn't an attractive place.
And in the book, you do consider the possibility that Detroit might be lined up very nicely to be an Olympic city in the not so distant future.
One of the big problems with the modern Olympic Games is it's grown overblown, and the cost of hosting it, the events are completely out of proportion. And fewer and fewer cities even want to bid for the Olympic Games because it's become so crazy. And Detroit's in an interesting position because it actually has almost all of the facilities you would need to have host an Olympic Games already, particularly if it was co-hosted with Windsor, would be a wonderful sign of international cooperation. And it would be a way in which of really refocusing an Olympics on not on what the city can do for the Olympics, but what the Olympics can do for the city.
Zilke, one of the things that comes up again and again in the book is the way that Detroit is perceived or labeled. And the way the city gets labeled is one reason some Detroiters are leery or frustrated when outsiders tell the city's stories. And as you mention in the book, here you are, two University of Michigan professors, both white, both originally from Europe. How did you consider that concern when you were writing the book?
Stefan and I talked about this a lot. What is our role in telling Detroit stories, right? And are there dangers involved? We did live in Detroit for a summer, which of course is still not the same as actually living in Detroit. And we tried very hard to listen to the voices of Detroiters, and in particular to listen to Black scholars, to read Black newspapers, to really learn how people in Detroit see their city rather than how we as outsiders come into the city. And whether we have succeeded in that is really up to our readers to decide.
Zilke Wyneck and Stefan Szymanski are the co-authors of City of Champions, A History of Triumph and Defeat in Detroit. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
On our website, we've posted two excerpts from City of Champions. You can read more from the fascinating chapter on boxer Joe Louis. Also, we've posted the story of a pivotal game of the sport we now know as lacrosse. The game happened in 1763. That's at michiganradio.org.